Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing, miracles, and an understanding of our eternal soul nature. As my esteemed guests today have spent many years in search of the truth and evidence of what happens when we die, bypassing the skepticism of some to remember that we are indeed spiritual beings having a physical life. Today I am delighted to welcome Paul Davids, who co-authored his newest book, An Atheist in Heaven, with Dr. Gary E. Schwartz. We will discover what happens when a friend, a lifelong skeptic, dies and discovers he was wrong about life after death. Hello, Paul, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for reaching out to me to do this today.
Okay. Paul, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I share our experiences of this incredulous metaphysical journey, which seeks to answer questions such as, who am I, where do I come from, and where will I be after death? We share on this show with listeners the dual nature of life as beings of spirit manifesting a physical world through thought and action, an open-minded new awareness of higher consciousness of our duality, which allows us to create a world that brims with vitality, love, and health, and helps us to release many beliefs and fears that have restricted us. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Paul Davids, who has a list of accomplishments that would take almost the entire show to talk about, but let me simply say, Paul is an author and award-winning Hollywood filmmaker who, with his wife, Hollis Davids, wrote 6 Star Wars books and produced the Life After Death Project, which we will talk about today. We will see how Paul's deceased mentor, Forrest J. Ackerman, an atheist and a luminary in the early history of science fiction, left a physical message for Paul that could not be explained by contemporary forensic science, and how Forrest, also known as Forey, produced a body of 4 kinds of converging evidence showing there is an afterlife. Paul, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and share with us a memory of a person, place, or event which may have mirrored the talents and interests and goals that they now have in their adult life. For I believe the man and his destiny is already evident in the child's inner essence.
Well, it's not hard. I was drawn toward what became my main interest in life when I was a kid, and it was always filmmaking for me. But, you know, as a kid, I especially liked science fiction. I liked monster movies. And so even when I was in fifth grade, I was attracted to what was then a new magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland. And I couldn't have dreamed then, when I was an elementary school kid, that I would get to meet the editor of that magazine, that I would be in an amateur movie-making winner of a contest in his magazine, that I would then go to Princeton thinking I was going to be a doctor, that I would give that all up after finishing all the pre-med courses and go to Hollywood to work in films, which was what I always really wanted to do, and study at the American Film Institute, and then get to know the editor of the magazine, Forey Ackerman, so well.
So let me, now that you tell that wonderful story, do you think it was a coincidence that you came to meet Forey early in your life? Well, might there have been another plan at work here?
Well, you know, something was going on that drew us together.
Yes.
And he played a major role in my life. But, you know, in those days, it wasn't about a spirit. It wasn't about that we knew of. It wasn't about, you know, necessarily trying to find the meaning of life, except unless it was in the existential books we read in those days by Sartre and Camus. But it was about, you know, making movies, pursuing the dream of what we liked, studying the history of science fiction and film. And Forey was a really important person in this field. But he was an atheist. Now, I was not brought up religiously, and I began to take an interest in religion with the readings I did of Paramahansa Yogananda, the autobiography of a yogi. And, you know, he talked about reincarnation and sort of the commonalities between Hinduism and Christianity. I found all that interesting, and I ended up going to India to make a movie about the missing years of Jesus, the ages of 12 to 30 that aren't talked about in the Bible. Some think that he was in India during those years. So I went to India, 6 weeks traveling 4,000 miles across India, made a film called Jesus in India, and became really fascinated about certain things in Hinduism and Christianity. And then when I worked for F. Lee Bailey on his television show Lie Detector, I had the opportunity to do a show with a psychic detective from New Jersey named Dorothy Allison, who was a phenomenal person who had all kinds of letters of commendation from police departments of how she'd helped them solve cases that she couldn't have known about by normal means. She found the bodies of victims in murder cases, for example. And she said, by communicating with the spirit of the deceased.
Well, you see, so your interest was there for a very long time.
Things that came along that furthered the interest, that made me look into it deeper. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's interesting is when you said, you talked in your introduction about seeking these things and seeking these answers. And in my case, when I look at myself, I think it was more of stumbling on it. You know,
well,
it was... I'm not saying it was an accident, but I'm saying these weren't necessarily the things that I thought I was looking for, but they began to come into my life, and the strangest was when atheist Fari Ackerman died at age 92, and he didn't believe in an afterlife, but he said with sort of a wink and a mischievous smile that if it turned out he was wrong, you know, he'd try and drop me a line.
Absolutely.
You know, and I took it as a joke. Well, this ended up being the movie I made called The Life After Death Project. I never thought I was going to make that film. Never intended in my wildest dreams, but I had to because I kept documenting all of the strange things that happened after Fari died. He did drop me a line, and strange things happened again and again and again that I couldn't account for, my wife couldn't, happened to friends too who knew Fari, and it seemed like he was making things happen in our lives. And sometimes in the strangest ways that seem physically impossible.
Paul, in my earlier life, I had a feeling that there was more to life and that there really was no death. But I didn't have any training or study along mm-hmm. those lines. But I felt something. I knew something. And then I forgot it. I joined the life, the physical world, and I put that all aside until I started to have events happening later on where my interest was piqued and my search for truth began, also stumbling over many blocks in the road, but I wouldn't quit till I knew the truth. So let's go on from here. Now, not many books these days begin with a sworn affidavit testifying that the account in the book is true. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, it was necessary. Because so many of these things that happened to me since he died in 2008 and the strange things began happening the weekend of the tribute that was held for him. And I began documenting these things. And so many of them were unbelievable. I couldn't even believe them myself. You know, I would reach out to try to find logical explanations for things that I couldn't explain.
Well, that's how
so
it happens.
So I did the sworn affidavit to let people know. See, first I did the movie The Life After Death Project. Then the academics said, and the friends of Gary Schwartz said, it needs to also be a book because you've got scientific studies of what's happened to you. You've got reports. You've got chemists that worked on the evidence. We need to see it in a book, not just a movie. So that was another 3 years, Cheryl,
yes,
to write An Atheist in Heaven.
Yeah, I know.
And I did it. I did it, you know, not for money, not for fun, not for pleasure. It was just comes down to feeling it was a sense of responsibility.
But tell us something a little bit about Dr. Gary Schwartz, who is a scientist out in Arizona, who I believe works with trying to find if mediums have the gift that they say they have, scientifically tries to prove this. Tell us a little bit about how you met him, and he's the one who wanted you to write the book because we want proof.
Gary's a remarkable person. He has a PhD from Harvard. He taught at Harvard and Yale in psychology, and then was offered a tenured position at the University of Arizona, Tucson, where they agreed that they would let him focus on and research things that he was really interested in, even if they were out of the mainstream. He didn't feel under the pressure, you know, to stick to all the norms. Now, he became really interested in life after death and how it could be proved. And the two main focuses he has, and he's written a lot of other books but besides co-authoring An Atheist in Heaven with me. He wrote, so one that I love is The Afterlife Experiments and The God Experiments. Not God like the Creator, but G period, O period, D period, which he means as the guiding, organizing, designing principle behind creation. So, fascinating man, and he became really interested in mediums, and he began testing them, those who claimed that they had the ability, to see who did and who didn't. You know, who were the wannabes, or thought they could do it, or thought they could channel, or but he'd have to set them aside because it didn't hold up in the laboratory. And then there was that smaller group that produced results that were measurable.
Well, let me tell
real.
You. Yeah, let me tell you about that. I always, well, I often have coincidences with my guests. And as you know, many people, including myself, have pondered this mystery of life after death. But about 20 years ago, when I was still somewhat of a skeptic, I was guided to John Edwards' first psychic spiritual development group through many coincidences that I had. And while I was there on the last night, Gary Schwartz was the guest speaker, and I was so moved by his dedication to use all his resources and scientific training in psychology and medicine and neurology and psychiatry and to prove scientifically that life survives death. So I was so excited that at the end I went up, and as a budding medium who no longer believed that death is the end, I ran up to him and I thanked him for bringing science to the work. And I could see he was quite surprised or amused by me, by my enthusiasm. So please go on to tell us in some very detailed ways that communication is not only possible, but is happening. Tell us a few of the stories that happened.
Right. Well, it happened to me in the strangest way, like something out of the Twilight Zone. Fari was an editor when he was alive. He dealt with text and words and humor and puns, and he said, you know, maybe I'll drop you a line. And what happened was, after this huge tribute we held for him, and I was one of the many speakers, some strange things happened to two of the filmmakers who'd made a movie about him that they told me about, where they felt they'd heard from him on their computers on the day of the tribute. So I listened to that, and about a week later, I had a document I had printed out that I knew was normal, a boring thing for tax purposes, phone calls, business meetings, business lunches, just things to go over and see where the business deductions were. So it's 24 pages, and an hour and a half after I printed it out, I looked at it, and nothing unusual about it, you know, no story so far. And it all started when I put the thing down on the bed in our Santa Fe vacation house. I'm alone there. Doors are locked. I'm out of the room for 5 minutes, and when I come back in, I say, help me, the document has been changed. Four of the words on one line have now been blacked out, and the ink or paint or dye, whatever was used, was still moist. Still wet.
Yeah.
And it was neat. It was precisely done. It was targeted. This isn't water dripping from a ceiling and hitting a piece of paper. This was targeted. And then, you know, there was going through the process of finding out what the words were because they were blacked out, looking them up. It's two different levels of blackness, two words I couldn't read at all. Then figuring out why it was reasonable to believe that it was a message from Fari. And it was a funny and punny way of kind of thanking me for involvement in the tribute and referring me to the guy who was his caretaker the last 10 years. And when I got in touch with him, I found out he'd had an apparition of Fari. So the plot was thickening, but I'm the skeptic who has to take the ink to one of the top chemists in the country at Indiana University. So I go to Dr. Jay Siegel, head of the chemistry department, expert forensic chemistry, written all these textbooks, testified in all these trials where chemical evidence is key. And he begins the research, thinking he'll solve this. It's strange, but he could get into the chemistry. And then he had to call in reinforcements. And he needed laser desorption studies done in New Jersey. So then I take a plane and I carry the document. Never leaves my hand. Total chain of custody. I go to Dr. John Allison in New Jersey. He begins studying it, and strange stuff happens to him the weekend he begins studying it. I mean, stuff like, you know, like, I don't want to sound scary, but, you know, almost like out of Poltergeist. And I had my camera rolling to record what was going on in the lab and his explanations in his house, and a clock starts to chime that hasn't worked in 10 years. And papers go flying off a chair in his room, papers that he was using to try to experiment with my ink. And I had heard reports of papers flying off a music stand in the house that Fari had lived in, that now the people that lived there were reporting a ghostly presence. So, you know, Cheryl, one thing led to another. So a lot of it was physical evidence. Then there were a massive number of synchronicities. Then there was instrumental transcommunication, where there's communication through computer, through electronic voice phenomena.
You know, as a medium, I know spirit has many ways to manipulate energy. And most of the time, they're very amusing. They're not frightening. Once in a while, you will have a spirit just like a person. There are people who like to be a little bit more full of drama, and you might get a little uncomfortable. But in that case, you just don't engage the energy and you don't pay attention, and it usually goes away. But let me tell you something. I have another amazing coincidence with you, Paul. You have a new film being released in 2016 entitled Marilyn Monroe Declassified.
Correct.
Now, I did a show some time ago that can be heard on my website, CherylGlick.com. On the radio page with Dr. E.Z. Friedel, who was the author of Marilyn's Red Diary. It used her own account from her own diary that was given to her psychiatrist, and he put it in a safe, and after her death, he didn't give it to anyone. It stayed there till he died 20 years later. Now, Dr. Friedel worked from this book, this diary. When I read his book, as I read every book before I do a show, I was crying. It was so sad. And I didn't quite know the focus of the show. So I did a meditation, and I do readings for people who are living, and they want to connect to spirit and hear from loved ones, or they want more validation about their own life purpose and their own direction. But I was told long ago I could do it with any historical figure or anyone who's passed, because we're all energy, whether we're in a body or out. So I did this, and she had a beautiful energy, a loving energy, a powerful energy, an intelligent energy. But what she let me know was the greatest love she experienced was friendship with her colleagues, Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, in Some Like It Hot, and she valued that friendship very much. So there was no negativity or anger. So I knew that love, in all its many aspects, was her main interest and her goal in life and in death. And I know death in spirit, let's say. And I knew what the focus of the show was. So we're trying here today to show people many ways for them to start to experience spirit being around them. And your proof and your examples from an atheist, a great friend to you, who made it his business to get information to you through friends and through many, many different experiences.
Yeah.
We already know the proof. You and I already know the proof. We're not skeptics anymore. But let's go on to something beyond this. Why do you think that the science in your book brings us closer to knowing the truth about life after death?
Well, you know, let me just back up a minute and say, you know, as a filmmaker, when I made the Life After Death project, they always like to have skeptics in the film, too, you know, who can challenge what we're thinking. And I got to know Dr. Michael Shermer, who is the head of the Skeptics Society, executive director of the Skeptics Society and publisher of Skeptic Magazine. I appreciate how badly the skeptics want, need, and insist upon evidence that they can consider validation. You know, channeling isn't enough for a lot of people. And for a lot of people, a psychic reading, it might be too general and too much room for coincidence, and it doesn't persuade them. But if you're talking about something done with ink, at the molecular level, with chemistry, and the chemists can't explain it. See, this was the crux of it, that they thought that they would get into this thing, and in a day, they'd give me an answer. 3 years later, they didn't have an answer, and they were still puzzling over it. I mean, Dr. Allison made it a class assignment, semester after semester, for 3 years to the students. He gave them all the parameters. They were looking for a solvent that could do what happened to my document and black out two words completely, given the ink that was there on the page before it happened. They never found it. No, of course, we're looking in the real physical world.
Right.
But of course, it expanded his mind very much so. With all the things that happened, you talk about a change in personality and an opening and openness to this now. Because if I urge your listeners to see, you know, there's a DVD set of two DVDs of the Life After Death Project. Easy to find, you know. It's on Amazon. An Atheist in Heaven, you know. It's there at Amazon. But to read these things I've done, and you can actually see in the film the mediums that Dr. Schwartz took me to and the extraordinary readings that they gave. And you're there with me in the laboratory with these scientists as they're struggling with it. And when Dr. Allison can't find an answer, and he's looking for a theory, and I'm saying, is it not a reasonable theory at some point to look to intervention from somebody beyond who was trying to send a message? You know, cause I believe that it was his sense of humor. It sort of had his signature on it. Most of what he's done through the years, to me, has his sense of humor about it. And Dr. Allison said to me, you know, in a very stiff sort of voice, he said, "Well, you know, we don't usually look for answers that involve intervention from somebody who's deceased and is in the great beyond." And he wrote two of the chapters in the book. He attended a séance that we did at Forrest J. Ackerman's great mansion, the Acker Mansion, we called it. Eventually, we held a séance there. We returned there. We spent several nights there doing scientific studies. Yes, strange things happened. And yes, you know, we all got swept up into it because there was just so much. Let me just say the glossary, Cheryl, at the end of the book has about over 140 different incidents from 2009 to 2016 that are all talked about in the book. It's like I walked into the Twilight Zone in 2009 and and never really came back.
But the Twilight Zone is real. Now, you give a story of a medium, Molly, who told you that George's spirit that she was experiencing was going to help you receive an award, and I have a reason for telling this story, and the award would be round. So you didn't know what to make of that, but then you were nominated for the Saturn Award as Best DVD, the Science Fiction Boys of 2006, and you won it, and it was round, and it was the planet Saturn. So what I have to ask you now, there's a connection here. Did Forey believe in aliens? If he didn't believe in an afterlife, I don't imagine he believed in aliens.
No, I don't think he did. I think I can say, but his whole profession was filled with fiction about aliens. Every science fiction movie you can imagine, every story. But
let me tell you why
here's what he said. You know, none of us would rule out that there could be life on other worlds at a distance. But whether, you know, he didn't believe that the reports of flying saucers and aliens that come from people are that he could rely on them. So he didn't believe in that. Now I do tend to accept that. I made the film called Roswell for Showtime. I've been into that whole subject.
There is a picture in the book of him at the first World Science Fiction Convention in 1939. And in a book, I interviewed the author, How to Talk to Aliens. There is a photograph of several people who the author said were from Saturn, maybe Saturn in another place, not this Saturn. And Forey looks very much like the pictures I saw. And also you say there was a picture of Forey in your book and his wife with Saturn in the background.
Yeah.
And it was one of his favorites. And many believe political leaders have worked with these advanced extraterrestrials. Well, when I saw the cover of your book, I sort of like felt the universe projecting something of this. And then when I read this story, I was very much drawn into an intuitive feeling that perhaps his gifts, his interests in science fiction generated from an awareness at some level within him to other realms and dimensions. And I just wanted to bring that in here. What would you like readers of An Atheist in Heaven, very briefly, to take away with them after reading the book? And how might it help improve their lives?
Well, I think, you know, for those that already believe that all of this stuff is possible, they'll go with me on the journey that I went through, where, you know, I was pretty skeptical at first, and see all of these things and that happened that I've sworn to. I mean, this is real stuff, you know, and the dedication to have science look into it, and all the different ways that the proofs were there that there is another realm, there is a spirit realm, and contact between the two is possible.
Yes.
And I think the book is a great journey. I think the movie is a great journey. The one that won the round award, by the way, is called The Sci-Fi Boys, which was about Forey's great influence on all the great masters of science fiction who came later. Like, I want to work in here. We may be running out of time, but I do want to say that just this morning, I've been working with the city council here in Los Angeles because it's going to be Forey's 100th birthday on November 24th. Of course, he passed away at age 92, but he always told us he wanted to live to 100, and we want to honor him, and we want to honor him. And so I put in a proposal through one of the councilmen here in Los Angeles that we name a certain intersection, Forrest J. Ackerman Square in Los Angeles, it's at Franklin and Vermont in Los Angeles, right near the House of Pies, which was where he would always go for lunch the last 6 years of his life. You know, he was an old man. He'd go there, and he'd chat with all the younger guys in science fiction. So this is something we're trying to have happen now to celebrate Forey's centennial on November 24th. And I think it's really touching that leading up to his 100th birthday that he's made himself known again and again and again in so many ways.
Paul, I know there are connections from spirit to loved ones here on this earth plane. And your connection to Fari exists beyond here. And you're still bringing joy to him through the work you're doing right now to honor him is quite a beautiful thing. So I want to thank you, Paul Davids, author of An Atheist in Heaven, for your creative talents and intellectual, scientific, and medical search to examine a topic that has too long been mirrored in darkness and fear. Knowing there is life after physical life is, for me, the greatest gift of truth one can acquire. Yet it remains elusive to a large segment of the world population. For readers who wish to open their minds and hearts to the truth of our eternal nature and being, please go to pauldavids-artist.com or lifeafterdeathproject.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, it has been my great joy to bring full circle added proof through research, study, and discoveries of the afterlife, and to honor the courage of all scientists, researchers, mediums, and seekers of the paranormal and universal laws of energy who provide evidence of the truth of our being. Paul Davids has shared his own search and impassioned view of change and transformation, broadly assisted by others who have bravely shared their wisdom through, although sometimes having others reject their efforts and great passion. If you remember at the beginning of the show, I asked Paul to remember his childhood, for it is in the memories of our childhood soul and dreams that the energy of the universe guides us to find our spiritual talents, awareness, and gifts, and reminds us that we are one in unity with Source, here to have a glorious life, moving past fear or restriction to find out why we actually chose a physical life. And one reason may simply be to refine our soul's energy as we grow in a greater love for life and each other. Paul and I would hope that you begin to pay greater attention to the synchronicities, dreams, and messages that we are all receiving from Spirit. It is within these light-breaking visions and sounds and events that we will all find a true reality of eternal life, peace, and heaven on earth. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to discover the different approaches by the many authors and myself to discover more about life energy, life and the afterlife, and the world and the universe. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.